All right. Well, you know, it's a wonderful thing. We have a wonderful message today. The message is we have liberty in Christ. So who are we to judge one another? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for Jesus Christ and the liberty that we have in him. And Father, we know that when the Son sets us free, we're free indeed. So may we live in that liberty, and may we not look down on others. May we not think too highly of ourselves and be puffed up because we think we know something. Father, because your word says when we think we know something, that's when we don't know anything at all. So we just lift up this message to you, and we praise you, and we thank you for being the gracious God you are and for being faithful even to the few, because your word says when two or more are gathered that Jesus is in our midst. May he be the guest of honor today. May this message be given in his spirit, in the love of Christ that you exemplified on the cross. And may we just move forward in this life that you've given us to glorify you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be reading Romans 14, 1 through 13. So if you want to go ahead and turn there. Last week we finished up a 7-part study on what is our reasonable service. How did it end? It ended in the climax or the crescendo to live positively by not focusing on all the things we shouldn't do and instead to focus on just loving God and loving one another as ourselves, as this fulfills the law, all of the law and God's spiritual intents. So wake up and live positively in Christ, as the time is drawing near for his return. And in this regard, we're to owe no one anything except to love one another. Meaning, don't be indebted to anyone because of sin. Cast off your sins and quickly apologize and seek forgiveness for your wrongs or our wrongs when we wrong somebody. Don't owe an apology to anybody and don't owe forgiveness either, because we are to forgive others their debts as our debts have been forgiven. So that's what it means, more than don't get into debt because of money and these other things. Certainly that would be good stewardship to manage your resources that God has given you. But Paul is talking about our spiritual debt that has been paid by Jesus Christ once and for all. Therefore, may we live debt-free and owe no one nothing except to love one another. Amen. Positively put on Christ as your life, and you won't make any provisions for the flesh. In summary, this is our reasonable service. Put on Christ. Cast off your sins. Wake up. The time is near. Just live for him. That's our reasonable service. That's what our 7-part study was summed up as last week. Today, we're going to start at least a 3-part message. By faith, we have liberty in Christ as we belong to him. So who are we to judge one another's servants? After all, he is the master of us all and meets us where we are. And we're going to read Romans 14, 1 through 13 as I repeat the title of this message. Again, the title of this message is, we have liberty in Christ. So who are we to judge one another? So let's go ahead and read Romans 14, 1 through 13. 14, 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Whether we are weak or strong in the faith, may we encourage one another in love instead of judging one another. Whether we're strong or weak in the faith, may we not judge one another, but instead love one another. And the faith means our knowledge of Jesus and his word, our knowledge of the word, and is essentially the understanding we get by following Jesus, as it is an experience that we are to have. It's experiential and not just theoretical, as you've heard me preach on many times. We're not to be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. That's how we're built up in the faith. The faith is what we believe in, not just our faith. Because as we walk and follow Jesus in the faith, guess what? Our faith will grow as we mature in Christ. And then we are able to experience more and more of the liberty that he has for us. That's what this message is about. So don't look down on your brother who may be a babe in Christ or younger than you in Christ because they do not have the liberty that you have experienced in Christ Jesus. One day they'll grow into it. So that's what this is about. So there's a difference between the faith and having faith. Walking and following Jesus. If you follow my teachings, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So those who have walked with Christ, who have put on Christ, and have walked and have cast off their sins, they have then been set free by the Son. And when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. They've experienced that freedom. They're experiencing then more and more liberty in their life to do things unto God for his glory and his purposes. Not for selfish reasons, not for provisions of the flesh, but because they're doing it unto God as he would lead and guide them to do. But if someone isn't there yet, don't hold it against them. And may those who are weaker in the faith not judge us who have liberty in Christ, because they just don't understand yet. Thus, Paul admonishes us in these verses to show God's love regarding the non-essentials of the faith, of the faith, the non-essentials of the faith. So what are these four theological truths that he gives us? He gives us, number one, God has accepted the weak in faith. So don't hold against him. Number two, Christ is their and our risen Lord. Whether you're strong or weak, he's the risen Lord to both. Number three, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And number four, we'll all stand before God's judgment seat, all of which leaves us without excuse for not loving one another. So those are the four theoretical truths that are presented. And today, Paul is going to focus on welcoming one another. Next week, we're going to look at another theme that he has. There's going to be three themes that he presents between Romans 14:1 and Romans 15:7. Today's theme is to welcome one another. And we welcome or receive one another because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is how we're going to exercise and demonstrate the love that is in us in Christ Jesus. So we heard all about the theory, if you will, of how we're to love one another and what we're to do. Now we're going to see this put into action. Overlook other people's either strength or weaknesses as far as where they are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 through 11 says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Now, you know, this is really a matter of conscience. A matter of conscience. A matter of conscience is remember where the spiritual warfare is going on in our minds. You have faith to believe in Jesus Christ, but yet you still battle against maybe past practices and rituals and different things, particularly like the Jews. And remember, most of the church, or at least part of the church in Rome, was made up of Jews, and all their lives they've been practicing these different dietary laws and different holy days and different festivals and feasts. And in their mind, they just couldn't quite stop doing that yet. They couldn't quite overcome and accept the idea, well, I don't have to do that anymore. I have liberty to treat every day as holy day. Every day is a holiday, right? That's where holy day comes from, a holiday in Christ Jesus, because you rest in Him every day. So every day could be the same, or you could eat anything, but it's in their mind yet because they haven't walked with Christ long enough for them to understand that He's given them this liberty. Because remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. How do you get the knowledge of the Holy One? By following Him. Yeah, you read about it, but then you put it into action. As that's following Him. And as you do that, then you'll learn you are set free. You have His liberty to glorify Him and not serve yourself. All right, well, let's go ahead and look at this verse by verse. As we'll look at verses 1 through 6. And I've subtitled this, "By Faith We Have Liberty in Christ. Use It in This Measure." So, verse 1, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things." So Paul is clear here that in the fellowship, there will be those who are stronger and weaker in faith. There are some who are stronger in the faith than others, but the stronger in faith, those who have more understanding than others, are to meet the weaker where they are in their walk with Christ. As that's how we show the love of Christ to them. Being an example to them, nurturing them, explaining when they ask questions, teaching them by how we live, not just by what we say, but not condemning them or looking down upon them because they don't have the same amount of faith to walk in the liberty as we are walking. You know, the bottom line is, we were all once weak in the faith. We all started out as babes in Christ. And I know we all still have a lot to learn because why? We're still here. So it's a growing experience every day. So while we are redeemed immediately, meaning our debt has been paid by Jesus in full, salvation is a growing and maturing process known as progressive sanctification, which we covered in detail over our 7-part study over the last few weeks, whereby the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit within a person is making them more holy on a day-by-day basis, even though they've already been declared holy by God at conversion, because that's justification. As soon as they surrendered to the Lord in their heart and confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord because they believe God raised Him from the dead at that moment, they're given the faith to believe in Jesus. At the same time, they get that faith and they confess. That's conversion. But that faith has to grow. That's saving faith. But now that faith has to mature. And it matures in the faith, the Word of God, fellowship, teaching of the apostles, communion, and prayer. That's the four pillars of the faith. And it has to grow. That's why fellowship is so important. That's why communion is so important. Communing, His Spirit communing with our spirit, as well as dining at the table of God, the table of grace, periodically to celebrate Christ and what He has done, His body being broken and the blood shed for us. But then to be in prayer, not just for yourself, but for one another. What's the prayer that we always start with? Pray for one another in this church. If you see someone weak in the faith or headed in the wrong direction, before you confront them, pray for them. Pray that God will lead them and guide them. And then as the Lord would lead you, follow up with whatever God gives you to do on a one-to-one basis. We're being made holy on a day-by-day basis. Hebrews 10:14 says, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever. Who? Who is he made perfect forever? Those who are being made holy. As it says in NIV, or those who are being sanctified. Same thing. To become like Christ. To have the godly character of Christ. That's what being made holy is. We're becoming conformed each and every day. So those are the ones that are seen as perfect by God. As we're in Christ, He sees us perfect in Christ already. As we are living in His righteousness, and He sees and knows we are being perfected in His love. Because God is love. And God meets us where we are. And He gives to each one a measure of faith to be used to mature us in Him. Just as Paul had emphasized previously in Romans, and it takes exercising this faith to overcome old habits and old ways and old trappings and old traditions that we have. Because many of us come from a religious background. Now me, I was a pagan. I had an uncluttered mind when it come to religion, you know, or believing in Jesus. Very simple, right? You believe in Jesus. Okay, I can do that in Christ through God. But many people come from religious trappings and you know, like the Jews. You had to practice things all their lives, and it was hard for them to overcome these old traditions that they had learned was necessary for salvation. But in Christ, those have all gone away. But it takes time for people in their minds to overcome those old habits, to overcome that thought process of, oh, I'm going to be damned if I don't do this, if I miss Mass this day, or if I don't celebrate this feast or holiday or whatever it may be. Oh, I'm going to end up in purgatory or whatever it may be. It takes time to grow in the Lord, to grow in the faith, to increase their faith, to participate in His liberty. That's what the teaching of the Word is all about, and that's what being a doer of the Word is all about. As you follow Jesus, He will give you the faith, through faith, give you the faith to overcome all those things. And we've got to be patient with people. Because guess what? God's been patient with us. He's been long-suffering, it says. You don't get more patient than long-suffering. So we need to be long-suffering with one another. As that's really a product of love. You love someone. If you ever raise children, you know about long-suffering. Right? You'll be patient with them. Not only hope for the best, but pray for the best and teach them the best that you possibly can, even though you may have started off wrong, as I had done for so many years. In other words, we're just to exercise the measure of faith that God has given us. But we do it by being in the Word, by being in fellowship, by taking communion, and by prayer, and we will grow in the faith using the measure of faith He's given us. So Romans 12:3 says, this is Paul speaking, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Use that measure. Use that measure as much as your conscience will allow you to do. And it is a matter of conscience. It's going to be your mind telling you don't when your heart says you can. Your heart's going to say, yeah, you can do this. But the mind is still being trained, learning about Jesus, coming to the knowledge of the Holy One. Because when you come to the knowledge of the Holy One, then you can understand, oh, I can do these things. But all things is done unto God, unto the Lord, not for your own selfish purposes, and certainly not for your own fleshly pleasures. That's literally turning grace into lewdness, giving an excuse to sin. And as I said, many of these Roman Christians, were Jewish before they became Christian, and their faith was weak regarding all these past practices that they had had their whole lives. And in fact, Paul would continue to observe Jewish feasts and festivals, as in Christ he had the liberty to do so. without becoming legalistic or without being legalistic. Let's see why he did this. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23, because then we can learn why we don't look at somebody and say, oh, you're legalistic. You don't know their heart. You don't know what they're trying to do. You don't know what God has led them to do. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23. Paul speaking. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, parenthetically speaking, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Now, Christians in those days might have seen Paul as being legalistic, but they didn't know his heart and why he continued to practice Jewish holidays and observances and festivals and going to the temple. But here it is clear. He was doing it so that he could save some. And then to the Jews, when they seen Paul sitting down and having a ham sandwich, I don't know if they had ham, but eating pork or eating with the Gentiles, they might have seen him as being a compromiser and a libertine. Oh, look how he's throwing away his religion. Well, yeah, we should throw away all religion and just love Jesus. Because religion is a way for man to reach up to God when God's already reached down to us through Jesus Christ. So they may have seen him, oh, look at this meat-eating compromiser. When his heart was, be all things to all people. Love one another. To the weak, be weak. He doesn't say this, but to the strong, be strong in how you walk and the example you set. Because we can all learn from one another. Because that's why God has brought us together. So, be careful who you call libertine or legalistic. Don't dispute over doubtful things. Don't dispute over the non-essentials, as you don't know a person's heart and how in the measure of faith they have that they're actually honoring God and how they are led to do. Maybe in good conscience they can't eat pork yet. So we shouldn't sit down and break out the pork sandwiches. You know, we should meet them where they are. And you know, God will grow them to maturity in Christ in the measure of the faith given to them also, as they exercise that faith by following Jesus. Leave it to Jesus to grow them. He's the one that knows them. This is what it means to have liberty in Christ. Do whatever you can do in faith unto God. Do whatever you can do in clear conscience, in faith unto God. That's liberty in Christ. Not having the presumption of grace, and then living however you want to, but having liberty in Christ to be all that you can be in Him and experiencing being set free as a man or woman of God. As we said, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. You know, it says God has accepted the weak in faith. We know this because what did Jesus say to all of His apostles? O ye of little faith. You know, when they're out in the middle of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and the storm come up, and they're all worried. Jesus says, hey, we're going to go to the other side. He's sleeping in the boat, and the storm come up, and they're all afraid they're going to drown. Well, Jesus said, we're going to make it to the other side. Why are they worried? So Jesus gets up and says, O ye of little faith. Well, one thing we got to remember is they didn't have the Holy Spirit to where they could understand like we can understand. They didn't have all the tools at their disposal that God has given us. They didn't have the teaching of the apostles yet. They had to learn it themselves first. O ye of little faith. That's what it says in Matthew. It says in Mark, why is it you have no faith? It's like, whoa, that's even worse. So he meets them where they were. If he met the apostles where they were and they became the leaders of the church or the writers of the Bible, the New Testament, who are we to despise somebody because of their lack of faith? We should be like Jesus. Meet them where they are. Because that's what happens when you put on Christ, because you're putting on His love. Prayerfully, you're putting on His wisdom. And you're walking in Him with them. The path of righteousness, not haughtiness. Verse 2. For one who believes, he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Now, let me explain this. They were concerned that maybe the meat wouldn't be kosher. Remember, kosher, it has to be prayed over and they have to bleed out the animal completely. So they would just refuse to eat meat because they wouldn't know whether or not it had been properly prepared according to their religion. Also, under the law, they couldn't eat meat that was sacrificed to idols, so they wouldn't know if it had been sacrificed to idols. So what they would do to be extra careful, remember, the Lord says, you strain out gnats? Strain out a gnat and you swallow a camel. Right, so that's what they're worried about. Straining out now. Oh, maybe this was sacrificed to an idol, or maybe it wasn't prayed over when they killed or slaughtered the animal. All they would do is eat vegetables. Who in the Bible just ate vegetables? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? He says, well, you know what? If you just give us vegetables, look how healthy we become. Well, that was before we had the liberty in Christ they had liberty in Christ. But now, in the liberty of Christ, we've been given meat to eat because Jesus says what He has called clean, let no man call unclean. Some that are weak in the faith will only eat vegetables. Now, that doesn't mean every vegetarian alive today is weak in the faith. Some of them have no faith. Right? Some are just being vegetarians, okay, because they think it's going to make them healthier. So Paul clarifies it is those who are weak in the faith, those who aren't mature in Christ, are those who hang on to past religious practices, but they certainly don't lack self-control. So who are we to look down on them when we may be lacking all kinds of self-control? Because in the liberty we have in Christ, we cross over the line. And we end up, oh, well, I can have a glass of wine. We end up getting drunk. Oh, I can eat anything I want. We end up in gluttony. Or whatever it may be. So who are we to look down on them? May we pray to have the same type of self-control, maybe not in that specific area, but that kind of self-control. Because that's a gift of the Spirit. I should say a fruit of the Spirit, to have self-control. So may we pray to be like them in that area of our lives, but still exercising the liberty we have in Christ. Verse 3, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. So we got despised. So the ones who are strong in the faith will tend to look down on or despise those who don't exercise liberty. They have contempt. Like, look, you don't even know. Don't talk to me about this. So don't despise them. And then the ones who are weak in the faith, then judge those who are at liberty and do exercise that liberty and eat whatever they want to. Oh, look at you, man. You're a compromiser. You're a spiritual meat eater. So either one is wrong. Don't despise somebody because they don't exercise the liberty, and certainly don't judge somebody because they're using their liberty. For God has received them. This is where the love of God comes in. God met us where we are, and we're all still growing in the faith, but we all still belong to God. We all still belong to God. So verse 4 goes on to say, who are you to judge another's servant? In other words, be judgmental, whether you're despising them or judging them, condemning them for being a compromiser. That's, you know, judgmental. That's judgmental either way. Despising them or judging them, which is condemning them. So who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. That master is Jesus Christ, the Lord of us all. As he indeed will make them to stand. Or as it says, as indeed he will be made to stand by him. Jesus will make them stand in the truth. Same holds true for holy days, which we'll get to in a minute. But when you're despising someone, as I said, it's being haughty, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. And as I also stated, I believe I said that this is an in-your-face attitude, which may stumble those weaker in the faith. And Christ warned about us doing that. What did he say? He says, if anyone causes one of these babes in Christ to stumble, it would be better for them to have a millstone around their neck and thrown into the sea. If your arm makes you sin, cut off your arm. If your eye makes you sin, pluck out your eye. So on and so forth, showing you what, hey, that's a sin. You know, doesn't matter how old you are, you can be a babe in Christ. Those who are new to the faith lack faith. So don't stumble them because you've experienced, by walking in the faith, the liberty you have in Christ. That's despising them. That's causing them to stumble. Because if they go ahead and do it and they don't do it in good conscience, guess what? That's a sin for them and sin for you. Not that you can't be forgiven, but it's like, don't go there, right? Don't owe anybody anything except to love one another. Don't get in that debt of sin by being in your face or in their face and stumbling them. Because that's a lack of love. When a person who is weak in the faith judges someone. So we got despising. Then a person who's weak in the faith judges someone. They're condemning them. And when you're condemning someone, you're actually usurping Jesus Christ, meaning you're usurping the Lord's authority. You're saying you're going to hell. We're not to say who's going to go up or who goes down. That's God's call. That's Jesus. And only Jesus is going to be the judge because the Father gave him that authority. And thus, only he has the power to do such. And he has the power because he knows their heart as to whether they are truly serving him in faith or being libertine. So someone that looks like they're exercising liberty and say they're exercising liberty, but in their hearts they're really doing it because they're a glutton or they're a drunk or whatever it is. God knows their heart. He knows whether they're doing it in faith or they're being libertine. Libertine meaning turning grace into lewdness. Using grace as an excuse to cross the line. To live how you want to. Instead of how you know, if you're strong in faith, the faith, how you know what you're to do. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us do it. As we turn it over to the Lord and have Him do it into and through us. So we're out of Romans chapter 7 and operating in Romans chapter 8 on. Also, as legalism was addressed in Galatians, people are not to become legalistic to the point of where they think that they have to add something to Christ crucified in order to be saved. That's falling short of grace. And Paul addressed this in Galatians when the Judaizers were going to Galatia and preaching, oh, you must become a Jew to be saved. You must be circumcised. You must do this. You must do that. You must do all these different things. So the point is, we do have a responsibility to protect people and instruct people regarding false doctrines. So all of this that Paul is talking about doesn't mean you just let people go in their wayward ways. But you meet them where they are, and as God would lead you, as 1 Timothy says, then you will, in love, as God leads you to do and enables you to do and empowers you to do by the Holy Spirit, you will instruct them. You will correct them. You will encourage them. But most of all, what are you going to do? You're going to love them. Say, no, this is wrong. You don't add anything else to Christ. But you respect them where they're at, as when they're walking in Christ and they still have some of that old baggage that they're hanging on to. There's a lot of difference between trying to earn your way to heaven by being legalistic and having old baggage you can't get rid of yet because your mind has not been renewed enough. It hasn't been transformed enough by the faith, the Word, and following Jesus yet for you to have good conscience to let go of this old baggage that you have. There's a difference between earning your way to heaven and just having some old baggage. Trusting in Jesus for all things. Liberty in Christ doesn't mean libertine, as we said. where you're living however you want to and claiming that it's done in the liberty of Christ. Because that'll cause people to stumble too. And you're only fooling yourself if you're doing that. Because God knows our heart. And each one will stand before God, either at the judgment seat, the Bema seat of Christ, or the great white throne judgment, depending on what our true heart is, whether we truly know Christ as our Lord and Savior, or we have a false sense of security. So, who are we to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. So the same holds true regarding holy days, or holidays, as that's where we got the word. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike, as it says in verse 5. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. This is where it becomes a matter of conscience, in your own mind. Let everyone be convinced in his own mind, as it is the renewing of our minds that transforms us in faith, by the faith, and be rest assured that Christ will do this. He will transform us. He will renew our minds as we are studying the Word, following Jesus. We will be set free by the Son. And then we are truly free. Verse 6, he who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. The day would be like Sunday. Everybody, you know, people say, well, Sunday's like holy. You got to, you know, that's the Lord's day. We all got to meet and that we're going to observe Christ on Sunday. And he who does not observe the day, he does so to the Lord, and he does not observe it. As every day is holy when you're in Christ. Now, when I was teaching at the Bible College at Columbus, Calvary Chapel Bible College, I was teaching in Galatians and I was talking about how the Sabbath was never intended for the Gentiles. It was a commitment or a covenant made between the Jews and God. It was never intended for the Gentiles. Why? Because Christ had come before the Gentiles were saved. So the Sabbath was meant to be kept holy because that was a command of God in the Old Testament. New Testament doesn't command you to keep Sunday holy. Now we go together and meet on Sundays because that's when they would celebrate Christ's resurrection. It was on Sunday that he rose from the dead. So anyway, I shared that with the class. There's this one girl who, an older woman who had come to all the classes I taught. She says, well, I think we should keep Sunday's holy. I says, well, that's fine. You have liberty in Christ to do that. But I was just trying to point out that that was a covenant made under the Old Testament to the Jews. Well, she never came back to any of my classes. So I guess he's still keeping Sundays holy. But you know what? Keep Sundays holy if that's what you have liberty to do. Those who are strong in the faith, keep every day holy because we're to be holy as God is holy and not just part-time, all the time. Amen? But some people just aren't ready to accept those things. And if not, so one day they will. We just accept that and move on. Pray I didn't hurt her feelings, or but I know I shook her faith, or at least shook her confidence in my teaching anyway. And where'd I get that? Chuck Smith. So it ain't like I make this up, right? So anyway, pressing on, because I know he has credibility whether I do or not. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he doesn't eat and gives God thanks. Now, what they're talking about here, I believe, is like fasts. There were certain fasts, like there was festivals and fasts. So when people, when they would fast, they were doing it as a tradition. But if they were doing it as unto the Lord, it's okay. Because that's what God had led them to do. You have liberty in Christ to practice that. It's not legalistic to follow your conscience with regard to serving unto the Lord and doing the things that God has put in your heart to do. As you pray about it and He leads you to do it, do it. But do it for the right reason, the right thing, the right way for the right reason. The right thing is to fast. The right way is unto God. And the right reason is because He led you to do it. So that's what they're talking about here, is that people will fast. I hope that all of us here fast and praise from time to time. Maybe not in conjunction with a holy day, but maybe it is. Maybe at Passover you'll fast or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's done for the right reason, the right way. Because it is the right thing when led by the Lord. It don't matter what we do, as long as it's done in faith, as led by the faith to Jesus Christ. You know, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ by this same faith, the saving faith that God has given to us, and some have grown more than others. So we're just to love on one another and encourage them by how we live in Christ. And to the weak, we'll become weak, as Paul did. He became weak because he loved Jesus and wanted to show the love of Christ, so that we may save some, and by all means, we'll save them for the gospel's sake. You know you're strong when you can become weak. Because when he is weak, guess who's strong in us? Christ Jesus. He says his grace is always sufficient. When we're weak, that's when he's strong. So may we be weak. Not weak-minded, but humble, meek, mild, gentle, kind, loving, gracious. In closing, he is their risen Lord too, so don't judge lest you be judged. For none of us lives to himself, verses 7 through 8. No one dies to himself, those days are gone. Meaning that your life is just a throwaway. Doesn't mean that you're not going to die unto the Lord, but it means you're not going to just live like eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow may never come. Eat, drink, and be merry. We might as well have a good time. Those days are gone. Why is that? Because if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. As Christ becomes our life, eternal. As he is our all in all forever. Thus we now live for him, the abundant life as his witnesses. And we die to ourselves daily spiritually. And in this regard, we are to be his witnesses unto death, which is where we got the word martyr. As he will give us the faith to do this too. But don't expect that type of faith until the time comes. Because it's a gift of faith that comes at the time you need it. For to this end, verse 9, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. As to live is Christ, and to die is gain, as it says in Philippians 1:21. As we'll be with him in heaven forever. Heaven on earth during the millennial rule, the 1,000-year rule here on earth, and then with him forever in the new heaven and the new earth. So from beginning to end, our lives are to be dedicated to God. Thus, whatever we do it unto the Lord by faith, as led through the faith and the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is our Lord. And for that reason, he lived, died for our sins, and was raised from the dead so that he would be the Lord of all, the living and the dead. So don't try to usurp him by lording over other believers. Yes, we are to pray for others. Yes, we are to advise and teach others. Yes, we are to admonish and correct others as led by the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't need our help in judging others, condemning them. God the Father has bestowed that responsibility on one person, Jesus Christ. So don't play God. As he's their risen Lord, just like he's ours. Otherwise, we will be judged for it. And we stand to lose our eternal rewards if we do. And that should bother us. So verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? Again, we have judging, which is condemning. And we have contempt, which is despising someone. Lacking love. All right. So why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt or despise your brother? As it says in verse 10. A weaker Christian judges someone for using the liberty they have, and contempt is what a stronger Christian may have for one who's weaker in the faith for not exercising their liberty. And of course, there are some who think they're strong in faith and then judge others to be legalistic. So they think they're strong and they're looking down on people when they're the ones that are really weak in the faith. They just got a high opinion of themselves. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat or bema seat of Christ. This is equivalent to the judge's seat at Olympic Games. After each of the games, the victor would come before the judge's seat to receive their crown, which was a, what do they call them, a garland, flowers that would die. We get crowns that last forever. Likewise, the Christian works that we have done here in this body will be tested by fire. Will be rewarded for those that remain. It'll either be hay, wood, and stubble that burns, or it'll be as gold or silver and fine jewels and last forever. We'll be rewarded for eternity with those crowns. So again, this is only concerned with rewards and not salvation. But we are to fear losing our eternal rewards. You know, if you found out that you had all these things waiting for you, all these and crowns, remember the crown that you're given isn't to glorify you, but to glorify what God has done into and through you. So here you've lost a crown, or these different crowns that God had in store for you because He was able to accomplish all these different things into and through you because you were faithful in a few things. And then you throw them away because you despise someone because they're younger than you in the faith, or you're judging people because you think they're legalistic. That's the terror of the Lord. Be afraid of losing those rewards, because again, it's a glory to God to carry those for eternity, because it was all done into and through Him. Remember what else we do with our crowns. Cast them at the feet of Jesus. Right, as it says in Revelation. He wants you to have them. They should be important to us. Not that we do it for the rewards, but we do it for the love of Christ and in the love of Christ. For the love of Christ, meaning to share the love of Christ with others. All right, so verse 11 says, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess God." This quotation is from Isaiah 45:23 and emphasizes the fact that all will have to appear before God in humility and give an account of himself before God. So then, in verse 12, each of us shall give an account of himself to God, knowing this is the case. We are to let God deal with our brother and sister as we have enough to answer for already. And God holds everyone accountable for this. Our application. Therefore, let us not judge or despise one another anymore, but rather resolve this, verse 13, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall or a cause to fall in our brother's way, lest we be that cause. Amen. May we not stumble our brother or be the cause for them to fall. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Thank you for this deep teaching. Father, I know it's so easy for us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. But Father, these kind of lessons always bring us back down to where we belong. In Christ Jesus. Walking in Him. Loving others as Christ loved them. Learning and growing in the faith, by faith, as instructed and led by your Holy Spirit. So we thank you for that, Father. May we be doers of your word and not hearers only. May we take these things to heart, and may our mind be renewed and transformed so that we truly have liberty in Christ. Because when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.